Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.
With no monthly or annual account fees on the FNB Cash Intelligence investment, 100% of your capital is invested for growth. T's and C's apply. FNB is a division of First Rand Bank Limited, an authorised FSP and credit provider.
Well, joining me now is Annabel Bishop. She's the Chief Economist at Investec. Good evening, Annabel, and thanks for joining us this evening. SARB hikes rates by 50 basis points to take the repo rate to 4.75. Your impressions?
Yes, hi, Chloe. Look, I think it was pretty much expected. The bottom line, however, is it puts additional pressure on consumers, and this is coming shortly after yesterday's print of April's inflation figure, which shows a 5.9% outcome. So inflation, very close to upper limit of the SARB's target at 6%, and of course consumers likely to face pressure this year, both from higher interest rates and of course from higher inflation, with another big fuel price increase likely in June.
And I suppose the other thing to take into consideration is that South Africa mostly a price taker as far as goods and services are concerned. US inflation is now running at 8.3%. I don't think there would ever have been a time that I thought US inflation would be higher than South African inflation. But where do you think US inflation goes from here?
Certainly down, Kirby. You know, the expectation is that it's peaked and we're likely to see it ease. In fact, I was just looking at oil this morning and the oil prices are expected to start to come off in the third quarter. It looks still remain above $100 a barrel for Brent crude, but then in the fourth quarter drop, you know, towards that $100 mark. And then 2023, you know, is just sort of staying above $95 a barrel. So elevated upward pressure, but not an environment where we are likely to see further increase in commodity prices to the point where we see, you know, substantially higher inflation. Of course, in the United States, we also will have base effects coming through in the second quarter. That'll help pull inflation down. But overall, you know, globally and domestically, we're finding that inflation's sticky. And that's a term that's often used to describe a slow pace of a descent in inflation. You know, it's at 8.3 in the US. It was higher than that. I think it was expected to come out close to 8 than the 8.3 mark. And it's just proving sticky. It's not coming down as quickly as was hoped for.
I suppose a lot of this is because much of what you're experiencing in the inflation basket at the moment is really about the input factors into inflation. When you spoke about the oil prices and potentially coming back in the fourth quarter, that really has been hampered by oil supply going. You know, the thing that we're experiencing with high prices this year.
Yes, look, you know, we've had a couple of factors. Not only has the global economy recovered quite strongly last year, and of course, you know, expectations were that we'd see further good growth this year, which obviously pushed up oil prices early in the year. But we've also seen global refinery maintenance capacity constraints, which are also exacerbating the pressure on oil prices. Of course, you know, as Russia's war in the Ukraine, that's a big concern, the sanctions against Russia. So that's had a negative impact on oil prices as well. Look, I think, you know, the second half of the year, as I said, I mean, if you look at the oil price today, it's certainly closer to about $110 a barrel. So if we were to have a look in the third quarter at $107, the fourth quarter $103, I mean, that doesn't show you an enormous drop down. It really does show you that prices will still remain very supportive. And of course, let's not forget that, you know, we are currently now in the Northern Hemisphere driving season, we know certainly the summer season. And we also, of course, look at the lockdowns in China. And those, of course, have been easing as well. They're expected to ease substantially further. And we're also anticipating an increase in aviation fuel as travel picks up globally. So all of those factors will keep oil prices supported and obviously, you know, mean that it's going to take a while before we actually see a good decline in inflation.
Speaking about China, in many ways, they've led the way down. I'm talking really about global growth here. Given the war in Ukraine and the persistent inflation across the globe due to high input prices, do you think that puts the whole Chinese recovery first from a world slowdown maybe in jeopardy?
Look, the concern, of course, and we mustn't forget this, for the global economy is also very high interest rates in the United States. You know, the anticipation that the United States is going to go on a strong interest rate hike cycle. And, of course, they've already lifted the Fed funds target rate by 75 basis points and indicated they're going to raise it by 50 basis points the next two meetings. And, of course, those two FOMC meetings occurring in June and July. And the concern with the financial markets is very much that this might be too severe, You know, certainly seeing a very harsh interest rate increases for the rest of this year in the US could obviously slow global economic growth down, but obviously slowing the United States as well. So, I mean, that's one of the key reasons why we've obviously seen such a negative impact on markets. You know, the lockdowns in China have already started to ease in some areas and are expected to ease through this quarter and into next. And certainly there's an expectation that we should then see a lift in activity from China in the second half of this year. So I think the greater concern is going to be the impact globally, not just from the Russian-Ukraine war, but particularly from the very harsh interest rate hike tightening cycle. Of course, we saw the Reserve Bank follow suit today with a 50 basis point hike in interest rates as well. You know, the Reserve Bank hiking by 50 for the first time in its current upward interest rate cycle, just as the FOMC hiked by 50 for the first time at the start of this month. And of course, you know, if we see a 100 basis points between here and July, well, the Reserve Bank certainly expects to hike in July. But, you know, this all comes with a negative impact on economic growth.
I mean, I suppose a lot of commentators internationally are now talking, and economists are looking forward to and asking the question, will the US go into recession? Will Europe go into recession? It's kind of teetering. Do you believe the West is going to go into recession?
Look, I think that Europe is at very high risk of going into recession. I think that for the global economy, I think there's also a risk that it flatlines this year. It doesn't perform much above the end point of 2021, where GDP reached at the end of 2021. You know, if we have a look forward for the other Western economies, I think the United States usually looks quite carefully at its economic data. They usually calibrate it, as you would say, at each FOMC meeting, at each monetary policy meeting, in terms of what the recent data has come out at, what the published data shows about the economy. And having had a look recently, we certainly saw that on industrial production side, the US economy is showing some indication of the pace of growth slowing. So still positive growth, but slowing down. The consumer side, obviously, fairly robust. We saw some good retail sales figures. But then, of course, obviously, if we have those very substantial interest rate hikes, that'll start to bite into that area as well. So I think the risk certainly is that given that interest rate changes have an impact only really a few quarters out, particularly, you know, if we have interest rate changes this year in the US or in South Africa, they have their biggest impact on the economy next year. There's a greater risk for 2023. And obviously, if the US just, say, were to push through a 50 basis point hike at all of its remaining meetings this year, one every 6 weeks, then obviously we could see a grave risk of them overdoing the normalization of monetary policy and actually having a very negative impact on growth, which happens quite quickly. Remember, we already saw in the UK that the consumer spend actually contracted in March. And of course, that obviously caused a contraction in GDP there.
Yeah, absolutely. Annabel Bishop, she's the chief economist at Investec, looking at the economic picture this evening. Thank you.
Open an FNB Cash Intelligence investment account today on the FNB app or FNB website. T's and C's apply. FNB is a division of First Rand Bank Limited and authorized FSP and credit provider.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.